to write, and I'm setting up for Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71. This is Channel 2 Right, Channel 2 Right on Berman's Reel. And I'm setting up for Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71. This is Channel 2 Right on Berman's Reel. I'm setting up for Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71. This is Channel 2 Right on Berman's Reel. And I'm setting it up for Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71.
I'm going to start shopping in January for Christmas 72.
Did you have a little egg?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Would you have a little egg?
Bonnie fixed me some breakfast this morning, and I really wasn't hungry. And I sat down and ate it to please her. And and I didn't need it.
Yeah, that's what I used to say every year. I go start shopping in January.
Yeah, every year I say that.
I put some water in some of my machines.
Well, I tell you, we had 5 bicycles to buy this year.
Golly.
5 bicycles, and all of them want a 10-speed, 5-speed, or 3-speed. They don't want to settle for a common bicycle anymore.
Sure.
And,
Yes.
That right there is enough.
And you got to get a mechanic if you get one of them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Berman can work on them, because I tell you what I did. I didn't go right to the store and buy them. I shopped around, and I haven't got $150 in all 5 bicycles, and they look like they're brand new. And one of them's a 10-speed, one of them's a 5-speed, and 3 of them's 3-speed. And a 3-speed bicycle alone will cost you $40, $50 in the store. That's just a plain one. And one of them is solid chrome, which is a $30 bicycle in itself without the 3-speed. And each speed is a $10 more added to the bicycle, you see. So a 10-speed bicycle will cost you no less than $100. And a 5-speed bicycle would cost you $50. You see, that's a used bicycle. But I bought them all. I've got, 30 and 30, 60 and 35, 95 and 45 is 140, 50, 60. I got $165 in all of them.
How'd you manage it?
How do you shop around for bicycles? I shopped around. I tell you, I got on that bike, on that in that paper, in the one ad there, in the miscellaneous, and they had bicycles in there for sale, and I looked for the ones, the type that I needed. Then I'd call and try to get them down on the price from what they were, and I held out till I finally got the last one last night for $35, and he wanted $55 or $60 for it. And it's nearly a brand new bicycle. They're all of them less than a year old.
Why, yeah.
So I think I've done very well with that part of the bargain. I think next year I'm going to buy them in advance, fix them through the year, and then sell them for Christmas. Make some Christmas money.
Yeah.
I tell you, they go hog wild over these bicycles about a week or 2 weeks before Christmas.
Well, you can't stand it.
You can't buy one hardly in the paper. You have to get that paper as soon as it hits the rack. people are just, they're wise to it. They're buying old bicycles and fixing them up, you know.
Yeah.
Putting new, maybe a new seat on it or a new tire or two. And
yeah.
You fix, shine them up and they look just like new. Well, Johnny won't be able to tell the difference. None of them will. So.
And you got some old bicycles around there?
Yeah, but those are the type I can't resell. It'd take you $25 to fix them up so they look like new,
and
you can't get over $10 for them. For that type, because they're regular. They're no speed. They're just regular bicycles.
Well, your children don't care whether they're brand new or not, do they?
Well,
they
for Christmas, you know, you might want to make them appear to be brand new anyway. So they don't care. They won't. As long as it runs, you know, works all right. They won't.
Yeah.
Don't care, but these are. They look like
well, now have you made trade or something? Have you showed them how to cut corners? I mean, they're not at that age. They're not conscious much of that, are they?
No, not really. They have never really handled money to an extreme. I mean, they don't get an allowance. They work. And we treat them well. We reward them by, you know, taking them places or doing things for them or giving them gifts like this at Christmas time. Or,
let me tell you something. When I get over there, we get to doing something. I want to know, you know more about buzzards than I ever dreamed of.
I wish I didn't know anything about them. I wish I'd never seen one.
I know they're fierce.
Yeah, they sure are.
Well,
I think they'd attack a human. I do believe if a buzzard didn't have anything to eat for 3 or 4 days, I believe they'd kill anything that came in sight in an open field to eat it.
Yeah.
I believe they would. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise that they do feed them the fish scraps that's over there and keeps them away from the cows.
Yeah.
I just don't know. They roost, you know, around the lakes. They try to stay close to lakes. I guess maybe it's for dead fish and things like this. It's easy to pick up for the young, you know.
Oh.
I don't know. Well, this is my theory.
Is
that
you haven't observed the nesting?
No, I don't care that much about them. I just don't want them in the field. And, but those buzzards were setting. Now, you can believe this or not. Those buzzards, there must have been 25 or 30 buzzards setting on top of the barn and around on the fence posts and the fence wires, even on the light wires, and I've never seen one set on a light wire. They're so heavy, I don't see how in the world he was saying, but there was happens to be some clamps right there, and that's where he was sitting. I wish it had been hot, but it wasn't, and he was sitting there roosting, and the rest of them were all waiting around for this cow to have her calf right there in the lot at that barn. That made me so mad. After going down and getting all those cows and putting them in the lot to watch them, and then the buzzards come right up there in the lot, the brassiness of them.
Oh, you don't mean up there
right
towards the
house. Right
why,
there at that
surely.
Barn at the house. They were roosting on top of that barn there at the house, and the cow was down there fixing to have her calf.
And you thought you had got them out of the
hair? Yeah, I thought I got them out of my hair for a little bit, but there they are. They followed me up there. And that cow, she had a calf yesterday, and the water, it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. The water bag hadn't busted, and it was laying there struggling in the water bag trying to get out, you see, and it was gagging on this stuff that was inside the water bag, of course, and finally I went over there and grabbed it and tried to run. The cow was going after me, so I grabbed it real quick and happened to bust it, but I didn't pull it off its nostrils, and it was still laying there gagging. So Berman came by about that time, and he jumped up, came into the end of the lot, and I told him what was happening. He said, leave nature be to itself. He's one of these old nature bugs, you know, nature's going to take it. I said, nature's got to have a little help now and then. And I said, we can't afford to let nature take that calf. So I said, I'm going to help nature along a little bit. So I ran over there with a burlap bag and got a hold of that stuff and just pulled away from the calf. And she cleaned it off. It was all right.
Well, if you had
but
it,
it would have strangled to death.
But the cow took out after you.
Because she thought I was taking the whole thing. You see, I grabbed the part of the water sack that I could to bust it, you know, get it away from the calf. But I didn't pull it in the right direction, and it just stayed over the calf's face. And then when it did bust, it got that much, clung that much, like a balloon, I guess, and clung that much to the nostrils.
Well, those cops at General Show, I didn't think they.
Well, they in a close corner like that, you know. I guess she thought, well, she's so gentle. She was gentle after that. I walked right up to the calf and just loved it and petted it, and she stayed right there watching me. While it was nursing, I was petting the calf. So, after that, I walked her up to the laneway. Well, the next day, I let her rest that night, and the next morning, afternoon, I walked her up the laneway to put her in with the other cows, with her calf. And I had to literally push that calf all the way up the laneway. It was so, you know, still kind of weak. But she didn't mind the first bit, me pushing on that calf, pushing them up behind her up to the gate.
But it didn't bother her.
No, not after they dry off. They won't bother them.
Yes. And while you were out there, they didn't.
No, as long as I was there, they didn't seem to come off there. They were watching everything that was going on. They were ready and waiting, you know.
Oh,
and as soon as that cow got out of the way, I took that afterbirth, put it in a bucket, and I had Johnny go bury it rather than to have the buzzards down there.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a very good idea, though, getting those cows up there to the barn. Because these three cows has had these calves in the last 3 days. Every one of them last year lost their calves.
Yeah.
And the one that, the cow that had hers that died, and I had the vet out there too, she had lost her calf. So that's 3 out of 4 of the cows that I have there at the barn that has had their calves all right.
Well, now, when they were out farther, you've had the buzzards take after you?
They'll circle, and they act like they're coming after me. Now, whether they're after me or whether they're after something they smell is something I don't know. I don't know for certain that they're after me, but they look like they're going to attack you, you know. They come down real slow and swoop down at your head. So I don't know whether they would or not. But,
oh, yeah.
I don't know whether they would attack a human or not. They say they won't. But they say, I've heard tell too that they wouldn't attack anything alive, and I've seen them with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yes. I've seen them just attack a calf as it's being born, pluck its eyes out. That tears me up.
What's the object in that? So
I don't know. They pluck the eyes out, and then they attack the privates. They kill the calf right then before it even gets up off the ground. Then they go off and leave it, or just circle around, and you know, the more they circle, the more it comes, and then they have their feast later on.
But
I guess after it gets
ripe. Do they feast on fresh meat?
No, that's why I say they don't. They don't bother until it's laid there a while, I guess it has to ripen.
Yeah.
But anyhow, they kill it. I saw that myself, and I was suspicioning it was 3 or 4 calves before I actually saw it, but I couldn't say for sure. But they sure for certain each of these calves had their eyes plucked out, and one wasn't even finished breathing when I came upon it.
Yeah.
It was still breathing. She's having
no, you just stay still. I'll just go check on it.
I hear
that. Well, look, you always have a big contingent of those buzzards over there.
Yeah.
They roost over there.
They roost right in the back of right back of the barn there, and they eat over there back of Boat Knight's place. Back in that swampy, wooded area there.
Yeah.
So they're going and coming across that field day and night, you see.
Yeah.
And if there's any fresh smell that they can pick up, they'll sense it right away, and that's where that's why they attack the cows. But I've had, I started to call Dr. Austin and talk to him about it, see what I could do. And then I decided I'd go to higher authorities. I went down to a checking station where you weigh in your hunted animals, you know, there by the railroad station on going out to Highway 20 from our place. And I asked him if he had any literature or address that I could write to about these buzzards that are attacking the calves. And he said he certainly did. He had a place in Jacksonville to write to, so he gave that to me, and I dropped them a letter. I wrote them 3 letters. I got one response, which was very mild, and they said there wasn't much they could do about the situation. It was against the law to kill the buzzards, and the only thing that I could do was to get the cows up closer to the house.
Yeah.
And to alert the game wardens in that district at the time the cows were going to have calf. Maybe they'd help, you know, at the time defend the calves. But I did this, and he came out and he said, I can't, they can't afford to pay me to stand here to watch your calves. And he said, the only thing I can do is to tell you to go ahead and shoot them if they get too close to the calf. That you think they're going to attack the calf. And he said, I'll just turn my head and look the other way. In other words, he wouldn't report it if I shot them and they looked like they were going to attack the calf. I had a legal right to do that because this was money that we're losing by losing the calf crop. Our livelihood, in other words. And so he said that he would turn his head and I could shoot him. But you cannot shoot them buzzards. If you get close enough, if you're lucky enough to get close enough, it seems to me that the bullets just bounce right off of the feathers. They don't penetrate the bird. They must have an awful tough hide. I just never have. I know I've hit them. Berman's hit them, and they just fly off.
Why do you shoot with?
Well, he's got a shotgun, and he's got a 22. But the 22, you got to be so accurate, and then they take flight about the time you shoot and aim and shoot, that you're just lucky if you hit one with a 22. But I believe that 22 would kill them if you get close enough. But they got such a wingspan. If you don't watch it and aim for the breast, you don't hit them at all. The bullets just go right through the wing, the feathers. You see, right through the. You might be lucky enough to graze them in the wing. But the shotgun is about the best thing I think to shoot them with.
Does that scare them at all?
Well, they'll all flutter up and fly off like a flock of birds will, but then they return.
Oh,
they come right back.
Just keep shooting them.
Yeah. So you can waste a box of shells in no time down there and not do anything either. So that doesn't do any good. And half the time I'm down there in the field and the gun's at the house. I don't like carrying them around in the car because of the kids.
Yeah.
So we keep all the guns locked up. He's got an artillery in there.
Yeah.
So we just keep them all locked up away from the kids.
Oh, he does have it.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of pistols and guns of all sorts. You haven't seen his collection?
We never got off on guns. We don't get past
that. He's quite a gun enthusiast. I guess you would. He's got a thing on that monkey.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a. I told Johnny last night to go feed the monkey. Berman says yes.
Now,
give him a dose of raw shrimp.
Your fish people over there, that attracts the buzzards.
Well, if they wouldn't throw their fish pieces out. You see, when they kill and clean these catfish, they only half clean them. They just skin them down one side and one down the other side. And I guess they halfway gut them. I don't know. And they don't cut the heads off, the tails or the fins or anything like this. But just the side pieces, the side skins and the guts. And they put these all in a tub, wash tubs. And they have wash tubs and wash tubs full of this. These pieces, when they get through cleaning all these catfish, they fish every day, commercially for, you know, selling to the fishermen that come out and pick up the fishes. So they have all these pieces. And it would take quite a considerable amount of energy, time, and money to bury all that after you consume it over that much over a day's time, week's time, month's time, a year's time. You've got quite a bit of rubbish there to get rid of.
Yeah.
And he'd have to dig an awful big hole and keep burying this each day in order to keep the buzzards away. But you mentioned putting kerosene on there. And I haven't talked to Mr. Boatnight yet. I haven't seen him yet. But I'm going to mention that to him. If they would just do that. Not only that, but it'd keep all the wild animals out of there. And not only that, but that stuff rots, decays, and these animals eat it. They're going to get sick. They're going to carry some kind of disease and spread it. Rabies or whatnot, they'll develop some kind of an ailment from all that spoiled fish.
Well, have you seen the buzzards over there?
Over at their fish piles?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, every day.
You just see them standing around.
Well, you can see them flying early in the morning, and then directly you see them going down.
Yes.
They're down in there where the fish pieces are.
They just wait till they put out a new dump.
Yeah.
They dump some new fresh.
Well, the buzzards don't even circle there anymore. That's their daily meal. They know, fly right down to it. You know, they don't even advertise. You know how one seems to scout the air and. They'll fly around, and directly there's two and three and four. Now they just come in a drove, like, and they just, instead of circling, they just swoop down in there and get their meal. They know it's there. So.
Well, it's to the advantage for the buzzards to get the stuff.
That's right.
And it wouldn't stay out there.
That's right.
Clutter up the place.
And not only that, if they didn't get these, you see, they don't fish on Sundays. So if I've got a calf born on Sunday, they're going to go to the calf. They're going to go to that calf because they won't have the fish to eat.
Yeah. They don't want to skip a day either. The buzzards don't.
No, they got to eat.
Suzanne came by here that day. She went over to see you. The day I got all, Tricia, all upset myself. Derail, as I call it. And she said, she just stayed a minute, and she said you had really covered the ground. Now, that was the day before. You're going from the field back then?
Yeah, three doggone times, three trips, way back. You know where Mrs. Gleason's fence line is, way back in the
way
corner
back.
There? Yeah. Well, that's where that cow had her calf.
Yeah.
As far away as she could get. And I'd gone down there to feed them some hay. I'd walked down there to feed them the hay. And then I found this calf trying to have this calf.
Uh-huh.
And I could see she was having trouble. So I walked back to the house, and I got the binoculars, and I got the gun. And you carry a big old shotgun and the binoculars all the way down there. And let me see. I don't remember whether I took a bucket of feed that time or before that, but I was going to go try to get that cow and walk her as close, you know, in at least out of that field into the next field and shut the gate so she couldn't get back in there, and that way I wouldn't have as far to go. So I think I came up with a shotgun under one arm and carrying a bucket of feed and the binoculars across that field, walking as fast as I could to get there before something happened, before the buzzards got there. And then
that's
I could
the trouble.
See.
Everything you do like that is in a hurry.
Yeah. And I waited and waited, and that's the trouble. I waited too long. I saw she was going to have too much trouble. The buzzards weren't, for some reason or another, the buzzards didn't come around there right then. So I ran back to the house again the second time. I left the gun, the binoculars, and the feed in the barn. Went back the second time to get a rope to help pull the calf. And I forgot my burlap bag. And I went back down there, walked back down to the barn again. Now
that
was the third time. There was four trips, three and a half trips, because that was the third time I'd walked down there with the rope. And I tried pulling the gun and the chain. I had to chain her head to the tree with one with the chain, and then I tied the rope around the calf's legs trying to pull him out behind.
Yeah.
So that was the third trip down there, and when I could see that I couldn't pull that calf, I tried and tried until every muscle in me was just exhausted, and that elbow, the arthritis in this elbow, I couldn't pull it like I wanted to. And do you know those boat knights stood right there at that fence watching me, and that made me so darn mad. Not a one of those men had come over there and try to help me pull that calf. And I thought, well, I'd let the calf die before I'd ask him. I was just going to be that hard-headed,
you
too.
You were just getting hot and ornery, weren't you?
Oh, after making that many trips, and they saw me going back and forth. And Virgil always, you know, he's always saying, well, if there's anything I can do to help, you know. Well, I thought, well, goodness, he naturally sees that I need. Well, I'd just been over there shortly before that, and I walked up to get the mail. Before I even knew this cow was in too much trouble, and I told John Henry, I asked him if the mailman had run yet. He said no, and he says, what you got behind the woods over there? I said, a cow trying to have a calf. Oh, he says, she's not going to have it right? I said, well, it doesn't look like it. She's in bad labor right now. I said, we'll have to keep an eye on her. So he knew the cow was, that I was back there with the cow, working with that cow. So then when I was trying to pull a calf, every one of them was lined up along the fence watching what was going on, you know. I don't know whether they just didn't want to ask or whether they couldn't, thought they couldn't do anything anyhow. So anyway, I found that I wasn't doing any good, so I ran back to the house. I didn't walk, I ran back to the house, and I called the vet and tried to get him to come out. And he said, well, it'll be 45 minutes before I can get there. He said, I'm in an operation right now, having an emergency operation right now, and he said, I'll be there as soon as I can get there. Well, that was at 2:30. At 4 o'clock, the kids got off the bus, walked up to the house, and he still hadn't come. And they walked on up to the house, and I had Bonnie to start supper before I got there, before I came up. And a 4:45, the vet came. So I rode then. After I went down, walked back to the house from the cow, and walked back to the house and called the vet. Then I walked from the house back down to the end of the laneway to meet the vet to go over to the cow, you know, so he wouldn't come all the way down to the house. And so when we got through, I had the vet take me home. I wasn't about to walk. I had him drop me off at the house. You know, he charged $15 to come out. The calf was already dropped. It was already dead when he got there. And they charged $15 now to come out. It used to be $10. That was bad enough.
Yes. And most of that is transportation.
That's right. He wasn't there 5 minutes because I told him, I said, the calf's already dead. You want to see it? He said, yes. He said, I'll look at it. So he went in there to look at it. And I said, I know what the trouble is. I said, it was a breech birth, and the hips were too big. And he looked at that calf, and that calf had hips on him that wide. I never saw such a wide calf
a foot wide?
At least that wide. At least that wide. Berman remarked when he put him in the, he was nothing but hips. I mean, he was a good-sized calf, but he was so big in the hips, that cow would have never had him. And the cow, he said the cow had a small channel to begin with. So naturally, she would have had trouble with him.
He just waited till it was time to go home so he wouldn't go back to the office.
Evidently.
It's just a half hour difference or so.
But if he had got out there when I called him, I think we could have maybe saved the calf. I don't know. Maybe it was dead. But, I could feel it moving when I was pulling on it, so it was still alive when I was trying to. He said if I had pulled harder, I could have saved the calf. But I couldn't pull any harder than I pulled.
And
I
you had
pulled.
The cow tied up.
Had her head chained to the tree. She's right there near a tree. She's having this calf under a tree. So I chained. See, they have chains around their necks anyhow. So I just slipped another chain inside that chain and chained her to a tree. And really, she wasn't giving any trouble because she was in labor with the calf.
Well,
so,
gee whiz.
But
I don't believe I could stand that. You're sort of a vet anyhow, aren't you?
Well, when it comes to saving the calf's life, you know, that to me is more important than the money part of it.
Yeah.
I hate to see anything die like that.
Yeah.
And it's such a waste.
Yeah.
If it does. And then the expense behind it. Now this cow, since we've got her from Mr. The way I look at it anyway, this is the only way I can see to look at it. We bought the cow from Mr. Sneed for $450. We've had her nearly two years, and she's had two calves since we've had her. Both of them has been dead. So she's not paying for herself. So
she's just costing you.
She's costing me a pile of money. And this is the same cow that last year, right after we got them, remember she had a big swollen brisket?
Oh, yeah. She's
that's the same cow. Now, we spent a pile of money on her then with the vet to get that straightened out.
Yeah.
So she's cost us a pile of money. We had that vet come out three or four times for that swollen brisket thing.
Yeah.
Then she lost her calf. We had the vet come out because she nearly died on us with that first calf.
Yeah.
So I was beginning to think there was something wrong when she had this calf and it was dead. So that's why then I got desperate and I wanted to put all those cows down there near the house where I could watch them that lost their calves last year that, you know, maybe would have trouble with them. But most of these buzzards got to the calves.
You do all that work over there? Give them shots and everything?
Oh, yeah. Well, now, come to the shot. I'll do anything. I'll tattoo them. I'll deliver a calf. I'll do anything, but I will not give them a shot.
What?
Johnny does that.
You don't care for that?
Uh-uh. I cannot give them a shot. I have tried it, and I'll cry. I'll do it. I go to stick it in them, and I get right to the flesh. And I just cannot go any further. I freeze. I cannot do it. I can't go any further. So when I want to give them a shot, I get them up to the barn and I lead them in there, get their heads all shut up, give them some feed or something. I'll call Johnny and say, give them a shot. He gives them a shot and it doesn't bother
him. It doesn't bother him.
No. One of the guinea pigs, I was telling Suzanne, one of their
pet guinea pigs. She mentioned something about a guinea pig.
I was telling her about one of the kids pet guinea pigs had a sore or something and it developed quite a big, very nasty place. So I got this guinea pig out. I cleaned it off the best I could and I knew that guinea pig had to have penicillin to get over that infection.
Yeah.
And how I was going to get it in him, I didn't know, but I was going to try to give him a shot. So I got the penicillin, the needle, the syringe, and I sat down with that guinea pig. I had a towel on my lap, put the guinea pig down, and I got this shot ready. And for 3 solid hours, I tried to give that guinea pig a shot. And the more the closer I get into him, the more he'd squeal and the more I'd cry. And I just couldn't do it. And I just sat there for 3 hours trying to give that guinea pig that shot, and I just couldn't do it. I never did do it. I think finally I just put it back in the cage and it eventually got well from nursing the sore. But I couldn't give that guinea pig a shot to save my life. I couldn't do it.
Johnny wasn't there?
No, he wasn't. Well, that was before he started giving shots. And I didn't, you know, I never thought about asking him to try it. He would have, I know. But that was before. This has been two, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Berman wasn't there.
You mean you did it all by yourself?
Give her the shot?
Uh-huh.
No, never did give it to her. I finally put her back in the cage.
But you did all by yourself?
Yes, I was there by myself.
Nobody there even to encourage you?
No. I couldn't have done it. I can give the kids a shot if I had to. I'd give them one, but I couldn't give it an animal one. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Shirley, let me tell you before we go. I talked to you one morning, it's been a couple of weeks, and the only time I've seen you sort of sad about something. What was that? Golly. I don't guess it matters. You're over it now, aren't you?
Yeah, whatever it was. Wonder what it was.
I don't think you went into any of it. I think you said something about it, a car for Christmas or something. And then, you know, I'm always in a hurry when I'm calling you, or at least at the office or something like that, you know. So I didn't get that. Well, you're over it anyhow.
Yeah, whatever it was. I don't usually get too depressed, so I should remember it, but I wonder what it was.
A car for Christmas.
Oh, the fact that probably the car was broke down and Berman was doing, finally got this promotion and
he was doing well.
And I was so aggravated with the car.
Yeah.
And I told him if he didn't get it fixed, he was going to get me a new one for Christmas.
Yeah.
I was really depressed, but I was kind of aggravated.
Well, now, has I kind of got the impression that he didn't particularly want any more responsibility over there.
Well, that's the way I took it. And I was surprised that he came in and he says, you know, somebody came up to me today and said, congratulations on your new job. And he said, what new job? He didn't know anything about it. And everywhere he went on the campus, everybody was congratulating him on this new job. And he says, I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
He said, I just figured they made a mistake and let it go with that. But he said, so many of them have said it. He said, I'm going to check into it. He kept thinking about it all night long, you know. He'd wake up and he'd think about it. So the next morning he went to work and he called Mr. Bennett. And he says, look, he says, there's a lot of people congratulating me on my new job. And he says, I don't even know what my new job is yet. He says, I can't figure it out. He said, why, Don, he said, I put you on another job. I'm going to put you on another job. It's all right with you if you want it. He says, it's a promotion to Murphy. You know where that is?
Yes, I do.
That's where he's at. Now he's the supervisor of all these maintenance men over in Murphy.
That's a big area.
He's got, I think, 55 men working under him. And he really loves the job. He really likes it. He took Herlong's place, if you know who Herlong is.
I know Herlong well.
Uh-huh. Well, that's his job now. Herlong's, what Herlong was doing is what he's doing now.
What happened to Herlong?
Well, I don't know whether he quit or took another position.
Oh.
Somewhere else.
He's a genius, you know.
He is? Berman says he says he is.
Oh, that's
is
right,
he?
Yeah.
Well, evidently. And everybody there, no one there that worked under him particularly cared about him from what Berman has been finding out here lately, and so he's off to flying colors, and he already knows what he's supposed to be doing and everything. He said the work is extremely easy for him. So.
Well, let me tell you, that's one of my best friends was out there most of the time I lived here, and he retired over there, and Herlong took his place, and he was his. They'd worked together one way or another. Mr. Patterson.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Patterson was over there. I've been over there and talked to him many times in the basement over there where the office is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice place.
Oh, he thoroughly enjoys it.
Yeah.
But I didn't care much for him going over there, and now when he dresses up for work, you think he's going to church.
And they're paying him more.
Oh, yes. Yes. He's getting way. Well, see, they kind of cheated him over there before, and he didn't really realize it till he got this promotion.
Yeah.
What they did, when he went to work there, he went to work in maintenance, you see, and they get paid more than the carpenters or janitors or any of them, of course. But the carpenters don't get the salary that the maintenance men get. Well, when he started working there, they didn't have an opening for maintenance, but they needed another maintenance man. But the way they had to list him was under carpenter, as a carpenter, in order to get him in. This was Mr. Bennett's doings. And they said that his rating, his title would be changed later, so that his rating would be changed and he would be getting more salary. Well, he'd forgotten all about that conversation, and he just let him go on and carry him as a carpenter. So he, all this time, for 4.5 years, he's been getting carpenter's pay where he should have been getting maintenance pay, which is a difference about $1,000 a year.
Good Lord.
So he's been really cheated out of all that salary in the past. But he'd been getting steady salaries, you see, as a carpenter, whereas maintenance, you get fewer raises, evidently. This is the way I got it, anyway. But I may be wrong. But when it comes to the money part, I listen to that real good. But anyhow, he was transferred then over as a maintenance supervisor in Murphy. And he was reading the listings on the different salaries and the different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And he come to find out that he was being paid carpenter's wages when he was in maintenance, you see. So that kind of burned him up. But now he's making so much of a difference in this job that he doesn't even think about this deal. Past salary anymore. So he's really satisfied with what he's doing. And there's so many more advances. He says in 2 years he can make another advance, and each advance is around $1,000 more a year. And he's trying to, I think he's trying to, right now he's trying to push for $10,000 a year, which is better than what he was doing.
Yeah. Oh man, and I don't know where he was. I never was over there, but that Murphy's, that's a nice place to work.
Yes, he says he really likes it. He said they work, the people.
Do you ever think of anything Phil's place over there?
Please. Of all things. Is that right?
I didn't
that's
realize
that
all.
Mm-hmm.
What, Mr. Patterson?
He had it at one time.
Well, Mr. Herlong took
yeah.
it from him.
Yeah.
Now Berman's taken it from Mr.
Herlong. And that's Mr. Patterson's old place. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
And he thoroughly enjoyed Berman. Thoroughly
well, that's
enjoys
a responsible place.
Yes, he says he has around 55 men working under him. So he has to be there about 7:45 every morning. And he said really, he really enjoys it because one thing, it keeps him on his toes. He's going from one piece to the other. There's a lot of walking in the job. But he's kind of a fellow that can't sit still anyhow. He's got to be doing something. And he said for once in his life, since he's been working over there, he said he doesn't have to sit and look at the clock. You know, he said that gets him. Not
so you don't get any telephone calls.
No, I get maybe one or two a day. He's already called me once this morning. I told him to do that because he had to go by, leave real early this morning. He went by to pick up one of the bicycles.
Now, you haven't had any trouble with that foot, had that foot trouble I've had with the cows.
Oh, no.
That's a new thing. I told you about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That little place between the...
Are you still having trouble with that?
One or two of them. Yes, they still come up. See, they still slosh through that muck, you see, out there. And I have to keep a little of that Coppertox, they call it. And I just found out a new way to buy it. They were charging me $3.50 a pint.
Oh, my goodness.
And then they quit getting the pints, and they charged $2.50. One place charged two, and one $2.50, a half pint. I called down here at Hendrix. Old Joe Lee had bought them out the last time I was down there. And
oh,
he
really?
He said the only size he had was a gallon.
Gallon. That's the way to buy.
I said, good Lord, how much you charge for a gallon? $15, $20, $30? $9?
How about that?
Well, now you see, if he had had that all along, I've just bought pint after pint of that stuff.
Oh my goodness! You didn't go to the farmer's supply up there and question about it? I think they've even got it cheaper than that. We bought it for the horses' hoofs there. Jerry, you remember the horse we had? He was foundered and his hooves kept growing out.
Uh-huh.
And we had to keep this Coppertox on there.
Oh.
And we went, I think it was the farmer's supply.
Oh, you used
got,
it?
Yes. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, I got a gallon there at the barn you can have. We never did use it up.
Okay, I'll trade it for it. And you got it at the farmer's?
I think it was the farmer's mutual he got this. No, Stockman Supply. That's where he got it. And everything that he has found in the medical supply for a veterinarian supply is cheaper there than anywhere else.
At Stockman's.
Mm-hmm.
Does this stuff have glue in it? I mean, you know, it sticks on.
I don't think so. It's like an oily base to it.
But
it penetrates, like Absorbent Junior and things like this. It penetrates right down into the hoof.
Well.
It's sort of an oily, like maybe like kerosene, but it's got that oily phlegm to it.
Uh-huh. this has got something in it that makes it harden and stick. So I spread it on there, and in about an hour it'll dry and stay on.
So they don't get it off out in the grass.
Yeah, it has a sort of glossy look to it after it dries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Not necessarily glossy.
Is it a greenish looking color?
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be the same thing.
Yeah.
That's that, what do you call that stuff in there? It's some kind of a tar.
Oh, yeah.
It smells like it. Yeah.
I know what that stuff is. It's a tar that they put in there.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be an all cocktail tub, so.
Oh. Well, now, I've got five little heifers out there. And they are the scrawniest things I've ever had. I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, my
goodness.
They've
got plenty of grass out there this time, so far, you know, this season. And I give them a little handout.
Well, what makes that? Now, all these calves seem to be doing pretty good that we've got over there. They're nothing special, but they're doing a lot better than they were last year. But there's one in the bunch. We've got two that's 2 months old, and they look like they're 5 months old. And we've got one that's 4 to 5 months old, and it looks like it was just dropped. I swear to goodness, I don't know what to do with that calf. I have done everything. I've got him up. I've wormed him. I have given it Solamat. And vitamins and all the feed, elite feed, but it just rolls it around in its mouth and keeps chewing on one lick, you know, for hours. And he'll go out there and he'll look like he's nursing the cow, but all he's doing is nudging her.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about eating. And I had Berman make a steer out of him. I thought maybe that would help. You know, sometimes I don't know what to do. He just won't grow. It makes me sick to look at him.
Has is your wagon running?
He's attempting it. What he's doing is attempting to change the carburetor, the whole works. He's taking that out and he's putting in a new one. Because ever since we've had the car, we've had trouble with the carburetor. And
well, now you don't have anything to drive.
Well, I'm letting Johnny do some bicycling around there.
You ought to just keep this car.
Well, I told Berman that I should get it back because you all probably would need it, and he was going to follow me over here Sunday with it and drive, and we go back in the truck. And I don't know, we got doing something or another. Never did get away from the place Sunday, so he said, "Well, we'll go tomorrow." Well, we tried to get this bicycle Monday. We tried to get it Tuesday, so this morning he went by and picked that up. So that's out of the way. But I didn't want to lose that bicycle after the deal I made with that fellow.
Now for a while, see, the day I was over there, she had made a cookie deal on him.
Yes.
And she had to stay in that kitchen there for a good while.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what I do. I make up my batter the day ahead of time and leave it in the refrigerator. Then when I think I've got a free minute, I'll bake up a couple of batches.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing just before you came, because I figured I'd have that all out of the way by the time you got there. But I had another batch to put in there.
Yeah.
It only takes about 8-10 minutes to do them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least I got that much out of the way. But the kids had to have 9 dozen cookies for school.
One after another.
Well, here, I had...
They put in the order.
I had Danny's all made up, and I said, gee whiz, this morning I feel good. I've got all the cookies made, Danny, and I said, I don't have to stay in the house today. I said, I've got everything cleaned up, have everything cleaned up real early, and I can get out with the cows. Oh, I feel good. I don't have any more baking to do, you know. Timmy says, well, what about me? And I said, what about you? He says, well, what about my cookies? He said, I'm supposed to bring some cookies. And I said, well, gee, thanks, you know. I said, why didn't you wait till tomorrow morning? You had to have them the next morning.
Yeah.
I said, why didn't you wait till tomorrow morning just as you're going out the door to school? They've done that to me before.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have to take them in.
So I had about 4.5 dozen made. But that wasn't enough. I had to make 9 altogether. So I got busy then that morning you was there and finished them up so they could take them the next morning.
Say, now they're not them little wafers that you make. They...
The date night cookies.
That's something you can chew. Take a bite of.
Oh, I brought that catalog for these boots.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you did.
The car. But
yes.
I want to tell you something. I ordered two pair.
Yeah.
And I paid $7.99 for one pair and $12.99 for the other pair. These were $12.99. The others were $7.99. Honey, for Christmas. And I got the prices mixed up. So I almost fell over when I looked at them in the catalog, but it was $12.99 that I paid for these. And they come in widths up to E-triple-E or something like this. E-double-E-triple-E or something like that. Big wide foot, you know. But they come from in all sizes and range in all sizes and what width. So I stuck that out there in the car so I wouldn't forget it.
Good. Well, you know, I never did. That was just an ordinary cookie recipe that you asked about. And what they did, they just made up their design. They just used the glaze and just made it up themselves.
But the glaze they made up themselves.
Mm-hmm. It was they just melted
cinnamon
stuff.
That's what I thought. That's what
mm-hmm.
I was going to try.
And it's very tedious.
I figured so.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't any patience with.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
As a matter of fact, I got the cookie batter all ready to make up. And Pillsbury in the Pillsbury 5-pound bag of plain flour, they have a cookie, Christmas cookie decoration in there that you can make. You just roll your cookie out to about 1/4 thick and about this long. You just make long rolls, you know, and then twist them into shapes, Christmas shapes. And it's real cute. Molly's going to make it when I get back home. She's anxious. Another thing she wants to do this evening is make a wreath for the front door. So I've got an art class ahead of me this evening.
You see? She knows she's safe. You talking about leaving home. Shelley, all she needs is just a little breather at home.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I need to get away to have a few minutes' peace.
You never see Mrs. Guthrie. Last time I saw
her. It's hard to stop by this morning on the way over. And I figured if I did, I'd be late, and she may not come, and then I'd be wasting time, and I had to get back. I do have to get back because the children. I left Danny and Timmy up in a tree making a hut, and I'll be surprised if they haven't hung themselves when I get back.
Last time I saw her, she looked healthy.
Yeah.
And she didn't seem to be taking all those pills, the pain pills.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it, if she could get healthy again?
Boy. I want to know the remedy.
Well, you look healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I keep gaining weight. If I could lose some weight, I'd feel a lot better, I think. And I keep putting it off until tomorrow, you know, how that goes.
Well.
So,
it's a shame that a fella can't go around with a little flesh on his bones, isn't it?
Oh, I'm telling you, if I was skinny like Faye over there, I'd sit out and I'd eat till my heart burst.
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing, it's terrible.
And she always looks in such a good humor, Guy. I don't suppose she's ever sad.
Well, I know, but
like a while ago, he says, you were so depressed here a while back. He said, I can't remember what it was about. I said, well, I don't get depressed that often. I should remember what it was about. But, you don't see me the first thing in the morning, that's why.
That's the worst time.
Ooh, I hate to get out of bed. As the nights get to me, as I get older, we get shorter and they get shorter. I told him, I said, well, boy, my birthday falls on Monday this year. I'm going to sleep all day long. Come to find out, it falls on Saturday, so there I go. It'll be 2 years before I can sleep all day. Oh, but I was something to look forward to.
You keep that card. You got to go.
Oh, well,
oh, yeah,
I can get back over with
it.
We can take it back as far as that goes, but you just take it with you.
Because,
well,
you know, you might just need it for emergency or something.
Well, he'll be off Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and, well, Sunday's Christmas, but he'll be off Thursday and Friday, and he's hoping the pieces come in to White Electric where he can go by and pick these up and get this fixed.
Yes.
And it's so darn slow when you have to order something coming in over there, It just aggravates me. When you go to buy a piece, you have to stand there half a day to get it, pick it up.
You know, they tell me that they just leave those orders lying around.
Evidently, because by golly, it takes them so long.
And I don't know any way to do it because they're the chief people here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what hurts. If they had competition, they may shake a leg.
And you buy it from one of the little places, auto supplies, like that over on Fifth Avenue, off 30th Street.
And you pay for it.
Well, they belong to White Electric.
Well, here at White Electric, see, Berman can get his discounts because of being in the service work. He's still listed as having the service station.
But he
in
gets
Orlando,
over there.
So he gets everything wholesale.
But they don't do it. They send it through White Electric. So
yeah.
I don't know what they... Now, let me tell you, in Ocala, you see, they've got...
four or five places there.
Lover Brothers and United and... You go down the street and there's seem like there's a dozen of places.
We've always been able to get better service in Ocala when we go to Ocala.
But you don't have any business down there.
No, it's so far for us to go.
Yeah.
For one thing, and he knows, Berman very well knows whether they've got the piece before he even calls or not. You know, just what they have in stock and what they don't. Here, he knows what they've got and what they haven't got and how long he's going to have to take to get it. And, in Ocala, he could make the trip, not sure whether they have it or not, and then they might have to order it there.
Mm-hmm.
So, usually he does all his trading there in Gainesville. Now, his tractor pieces he gets from Maitland.
Yeah.
He gets these all from Maitland, so he'll call down there to have them mail them up here if they've got it. If they haven't, they order it and have it directly sent to us.
Yeah.
So
they'll do that.
Yeah.
Miss Listen back in the running on her feet again after that trouble she had?
I haven't seen or heard anything about her.
I don't think she's out much now. She had that. She had another spell, someone told me.
Oh?
Bad one.
Oh. When was this?
I don't know.
It was right before Thanksgiving, I think it was. Pat told me that.
Oh, is that where you find out about it? Now there, if you look out the window there, there's a sapsucker.
Oh,
there's an old genuine sapsucker.
Yeah.
See, that's not a woodpecker.
You don't see them very often.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Bermans forever. Every time he sees one, he has a fit. He comes, runs in the house, tells me about it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Now you've got binoculars over there.
Yeah, but you don't see him close up like that. What's he eating, Pat?
Suet.
Suet.
So many of our brother like suet. They don't. They get plenty.
Well, what is your recipe for this?
Suet?
Uh-huh.
Not any.
You don't make up your.
You just buy it. They give it to you at the meat, at the butcher's.
We get the kidney. It's flaky and they like it.
Yeah, you don't want the stringy kind.
That's what I was wondering because it looks like he's not having too much trouble there getting it.
Yeah.
Oh, and he wipes his bill. Okay.
Yeah.
Aren't they a beautiful bird? And to think they used to kill him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'd love to see is an ivory-billed woodpecker.
Gosh, everybody.
Boy, I'd love to see one.
Yeah, they used to get those little air rifles.
Don't they have them around Cuba yet, though? They're supposed to be up in the mountains up around Cuba, down there around Cuba. But the only ones that would see them was Castro.
Bonnie's off on the horse, so you
and
Tommy's out there eating a candy cane.
Oh my!
So they're all set, but she'll be back in a minute.
I can sit here all day and watch that little bird.
Shirley, is your rye coming along?
It's doing pretty good, but it needs cold weather. It's going to turn yellow if it doesn't get some cold weather. We hadn't counted on all this beautiful sunshine and April weather in December, but...
Well, it keeps on growing.
It's doing pretty good. Now this rain's going to happen. We need rain on it.
Yeah.
So we got good rain on it last night.
I want you to try one of those butter cookies right there.
You have a...
Since you're in the cookie business.
you
got the right one. No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, they're nice and crisp.
Yes.
Mm.
I'm going out here and check on that.
We got,
I'm good.
We do.
Yeah, I've got to get back because I've got those kids I'm worried about up in the tree huts.
Yes, you need to check on that.
Have you seen Bonnie Faye Heber put the horse up? Because I'm going to have to go pretty shortly.
Yeah. You know, they had some sweet potatoes I got from Coleman over there. And they're not sweet. And I thought I'd put them in here where the heat was, see if they'd cure out a little bit. But somebody told me that he'd just been using slips off the same potatoes so long. They don't do right.
You should start afresh.
Yes, and I ought to help him. I could order some, you see, and get them for him.
Have you ever seen this one that weighs over 100 pounds? The sweet potato? It's unbelievable. I'm going to get one of these days. I keep saying that, but I just want to see it. To believe it.
And you grow it yourself?
Yeah, you grow it yourself. It grows on vine like these, but it weighs over 100 pounds. Great big monstrous. I guess it's only a 2 or 3 to the vine. Couldn't be any
more than
that.
So,
they claim they're very, very good. Mr. Harrison over in Island Grove has some, I think. I'm going to try to find out.
Go see him.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be a heck of a lot of potatoes to fix it one time.
Well, you could cut on them like you did the old hams, you know.
Yeah.
Leave them in the smokehouse and go out and cut off.
Until burning, take a whole oven to cook one potato. You have to cut it in a fourth or so to get it in.
Yeah.
100-pound potato.
I don't know what to do with those scrawny calves. I just don't know.
Well, you've wormed them and everything?
Yes. Maybe I'll do it again.
Have you tried any Solamat? Pill to kind of up their appetite and... Or do they eat real good?
Oh, they eat raw
potatoes.
I could give them more, but you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
All you give them is just to help them, and you know, keep them. You don't feed them to make them grow, do you? In the off season.
No, I don't. Well, I don't know about that darn steer that was on the milk cow. We took him. We've got him there at the barn. We had him on the milk cow. Then the kids started drinking more milk, so we took him off of the cow's milk and put him on powdered milk. And that thing is unbelievable. He's just growing off to something. It's just hard to. Oh, you got company here.
No, that's a damn test, man.
Oh.
I hate to see him coming.
Oh.
No, I guess it's not. He comes in a truck.
Florida Pest Control.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate to see him coming. He smells up the place.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. Sometimes they're worth it. You know, Berman's been getting a little can and going around every evening and around where I keep my trash, you know, and things like this and spraying for me and around the house on the outside. And boy, I don't hardly see him. Roach or a spider or anything in the house.
I get his recipe.
Yeah, he's got one of those regular cans that he has to spray it out with. And he makes up his own solution and puts in there.
Excuse me. Would it be better if he sprayed later?
It's all right. It's a nuisance any time he sprays.
Well, he said he could spray around 4.
Well, that don't matter. Just let him spray. And I'll just move. Just go somewhere.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to get on down the road.
That shower was a surprise to me last night. I was, man, alive.
It was a blessing because everything was so dry.
Yes, sir. The end of Channel 2 Right and the end of Visit with Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71. The end of Channel 2 Right and the end of the Visit with Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71. The end of the Visit with Shirley and the end of Channel 2 Right this Tuesday morning, 21st of December, 71. Channel 2 right, end of Channel 2 right, end of Visit with Shirley this Tuesday morning, the 21st of December, 71.